John and Hugh, Cova Guys, at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So, my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game.
Here's Heinicke, play fake, looks left, wants to throw. Thomas is there. He'll throw to the end zone, and Thomas made the catch in traffic for the Carolina touchdown. Here's Matt, play action, rolls to the right, going to throw for the end zone. Jones the catch, streaking across the back line of the end zone for the touchdown. Heinicke in the gun with McCaffrey and wants to throw on first down. Middle of the field, shoots it, and it's caught, and then fumbled. It's batted around. Brian Poole has fallen on it at the 13, and it will belong to Atlanta. Matt on a five-step drop. Tried to throw it, and it got deflected and incomplete. Now it's being called a fumble and intercepted and turned back over. Kyle Love comes out of there with it. Snap, spot, try, and on the way, and it is just inside the right upright and good. Play fake by Heinicke, two receivers. Heinicke throws, intercepted, Jack Crawford. Crawford intercepted it at the goal line and comes out of there with it. Atlanta play fake by Ryan. He's going to take the deep shot, and wide open is Ridley. 35-30, Calvin 20-15. Reed to beat at the 5. Touchdown, Atlanta. Ryan goes to the gun with Hill in the backfield. Play fake to Brian Hill. Matt wants to take another shot down the middle of the field. Sanu, 15-10-5. Touchdown, Muhammad Sanu. Snap to Heinicke in the gun. Looks left, throws left. Intercepted, Brian Poole. Another red zone turnover for the Carolina Panthers. And here's Hill on another carry, breaking free to the right side for hurdle the guy and fumble the ball. And it looks like Carolina's recovered it with Julius Peppers. Heinicke looking to throw. He'll be sacked, and that's Bruce Irvin. Heinicke first and 10 for the Panthers. Straight drop, hit as he throws, put it up for grabs. And Isaiah Oliver, did he pick it in bounds? No, out of bounds.
Ooh. Take a look at it here real closely.
One, two.
Yeah, that's an interception.
That's a
guys.
Pick. It'll be
that's
a touchback.
Turned over. They were buzzed down.
Oh, you got to come on, guys.
Got to buzz come down. That's on. An interception.
That's an interception, guys. Here
After
we go.
Reviewing the play, it is an interception in the end zone.
Hey.
There's a level of professionalism that we have in our locker room, and regardless of the situation, if we're going to play, we're going to play well, and we're going to prepare that way. And I thought the preparation this week was really good. There's still a lot of things we can clean up in a game like today to ensure that, you know, we could close this thing out even earlier, and that's what we'll address this week. We'll try and be better next week.
Well, the Atlanta Falcons on a Falcons Monday come into a Christmas holiday with a two-game win streak after winning again yesterday, this time on the road 24-10 over the Carolina Panthers. And welcome to a Falcons Monday with John and Hugh on this Christmas Eve morning from the Kia Studios. If you're out and about this early on this Christmas Eve morning, do stay with us. We've got a lot to chat about. And, of course, we wish you an early, very Merry Christmas. Morning to you. Merry Christmas, Hugh.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Who sang that?
Hervé Village. No, I don't know. I messed that up. Somebody about to kill me for that
one.
But I remember that he wore glasses.
Yeah.
He the dude that sang, sang Chico and the Man.
Jose Feliciano.
Jose Feliciano.
That was
Feliz
who it
Navidad.
Was. Yeah, that was it.
He sang Chico. Yeah. Chico Look at man. Me. I remember it. I just was like, I remember that.
It took me a second. I had forgotten too. But Feliz Navidad, is that's your thing. Merry Christmas and all that kind of good stuff. It is Christmas Eve. The Falcons do win. You know what's going to happen? The Falcons are going to win next week in Tampa. You know that. They're going to end the season on a three-game win streak. They're going to end up in second place in the NFC South, which means they're going to have a second-place schedule next year, and they're going to be just outside of the playoffs. Is that amazing or what?
You're talking about this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but it's that kind of a year. It was unfortunate that the ball bounced the way that it did for the Atlanta Falcons. But, you know, momentum, I think that's the biggest thing you take from this, is that you want to end on a high note. You definitely want to end on a high note.
I felt a little bad for Taylor Heinicke yesterday.
Why? I don't understand you and feeling bad for quarterbacks that are – I mean, I don't understand.
I got one question before we get into it.
Yeah.
I don't understand the rules of football. How is Grady Jarrett sacking Taylor Heinicke, roughing the passer?
Because he went for his legs.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he dove for his legs. It counted as a sack, but it was like, you know, Grady was falling and he's still trying to make a play, and he dove at his legs, so that's why they got him for the roughing
pass.
All
right, because I was wondering that. Thanks, I appreciate that clarification. I was going, what in the world?
Yeah,
because you know, I thought the rule was you had to land on him, and nobody touched him. You know,
he went at his legs. He still got the credit for the sack though, but yeah, he was going at his legs.
Trust you had a good weekend.
Oh, had a great weekend. Yeah, had a great weekend.
And so I you know, because I've got family and I got the mother-in-law in, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I, you know, you have to entertain, I think, is kind of the thing.
I don't have to entertain, but I see you want to get away from this whole feeling bad for Taylor Heinicke thing. Yeah. That's what I see you want to do.
Right, exactly.
Because I don't understand that. Taylor Heinicke, to me, is – I can't wait to speak to Dave because I have a question that I've been burning to ask because, you know, Dave played the quarterback position,
mm-hmm.
and – I want to ask Dave, if you're listening to Dave, you know it's coming. Is Taylor the future of the Carolina Panthers? Because the one thing that stuck out to me yesterday when he got hurt was how he fought through that and still tried to play. Tough kid. And I'm just wondering if he's the heir apparent to mm-hmm. the Carolina Panthers. Kind of curious about that. So, y'all want to ask Dave, see if Dave knows the answer to that question.
He was a star quarterback at Collins Hill High. He was a star quarterback at Old Dominion. There were a lot of big schools that figured that they missed on Taylor Heinicke coming out of Collins Hill, that he could have been a legitimate big-time quarterback at a big-time – there's nothing against Old Dominion, but at the time Old Dominion was a 1AA school, and a lot of people think he would have been a big-time quarterback at an SEC school, for example, and did show a lot of resilience. I mean, best I could tell, he dislocated his elbow. That's the best I could tell. And he came, they popped that sucker back in, and he rubbed a little dirt on it, came back in the game. And so, you know, congrats to him for at least trying to get that out. But the Falcons do get that victory 24-10. Anyway, I was going to tell you about my mother-in-law. So I take her to a concert on Saturday night, Bob Seger. It's his farewell tour, no big deal. And I tweet out something about, you know, hey, how about Bob Seger still rocking at age 73, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I get a reply on my Twitter from, hey, John, that's great. My dad's at that concert. I'm like, okay. You know, there's something about, and this will happen to you. Guess what will happen to you in your life, right? The people that you watch now someday will be on their farewell tour, and you'll realize, man, really? Where did that go? Wow. Bob Seger, I mean, you grew up with Bob Seger, too. 73, where did that go?
I can't remember one song that Bob Seger sings right now, John. I really can't. I remember going to a Bruce Springsteen concert,
mm-hmm.
had a ball. Jeremy Schapp, matter of fact, it was Jeremy Schapp and a couple other ESPN people there when I was up there, had a ball there. But I guess going to concerts like that, you appreciate, it's almost like a walk down memory lane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, because, you know, you're saying glory days and all the other good stuff. So that's how I kind of looked at it. It's not, I mean, the one thing that we're all getting us a little older. I like to think I'm getting a little wiser. I'm pretty sure that a lot of people probably, you know, argue about that point. But still, I mean, I think you go to a concert to enjoy it for the music that reminds you of days gone by, I guess.
Right.
You know. But, I mean, I.
No, I totally get that. It's just all of a sudden, well, Bruce Springsteen is probably 70 years old. And you wake up one day and you realize, man of mercy. You know, time does fly. That's why you take all these, you know, moments and you say, you know, kind of live in the moment. It's kind of hard to do, I know. Trust me. I mean, you get to be a little bit older and you say, you know, why didn't I live in the moment? And you do, because it's about the journey and not about the destination. And hopefully you're enjoying your journey today because it is Christmas Eve. And just enjoy this Christmas, you know, whatever family you have around or however you're going to enjoy the holidays this year. Even if you don't do Christmas and you're going to be going to a movie and you know, eating at the Chinese restaurant, that's quite all right. I mean, that is a popular thing in Southern California, man. You cannot get into a Chinese restaurant in Los Angeles on Christmas to save your life.
Is that true, Daryl?
It's the God's honest truth.
There's a 3-hour wait for Mushu pork. I mean, it is insane. But it's a lot of fun, too, because that was the big thing to do. At least in Southern California. Hawks won last night. Guess what? Your Atlanta Hawks have a 3-game win streak. So they dragged me in this weekend to do the Hawks game. You know, I raised my hand and I had to do the Hawks network yesterday because the Falcons were on pretty much, you know, there was a little overlap between the Falcons and the Hawks. And I'm like, I don't really like a Hawks game. I'm grumbling a little bit because, you know, the Hawks aren't no good. Plus, John Collins is out. Torian Prince is out. They're, you know, on the road. And they still won because the old guy had 18 points.
Vince Carter.
How about Vince Carter getting 18 points in that game? Vince Carter, 18. He's 41 years old. Wouldn't you love it if Vince Carter just went off one day for his age and, you know, parted 41?
I think for him to be able to still get up and down the court like he do for his age, that's pretty impressive. I mean, to be able to run out there with the young guys. I have a tremendous amount of respect for anybody that's played any in their respective sports at an advanced age because it's hard. I mean, just the ability to be able to run with the youth. Because when you look when you think about all these professional sports, they're a young man game. And you know, as you get older, the body doesn't respond the way that it used to. And for him to be able to do some of the things that he's able to do at his age, man, I'm my hat's off to him. Commending for that.
Yeah, and so the Hawks without Collins, without Prince, managed to beat the Pistons last night, 98-95. They hung on. The way the game ended, Blake Griffin had a chance to tie the game at the foul line with 21 seconds to go. You got two foul shots. Missed them both. And the people in Detroit are like, what did they pay? How much did they pay Blake Griffin? Like $30 million?
Did he resign with Detroit? Or was it he's on the contract that he was with? He resigned? No, it's his contract he was on. He's still under the Pistons. I mean, the Clippers.
Whatever he makes. But, I mean, don't you make that $25 million or whatever he makes to make foul shots in the last 20 seconds and you miss two? And he clanked both of them. I mean, bad. And then the Hawks won it at the other end on the foul line. So congrats to Lloyd Pierce and the Hawks, who are now back home this morning and enjoying the Christmas holiday. They'll play at home tomorrow night against Indiana. And if you're looking for a late Christmas gift, a stocking stuffer or something, you can go to Hawks.com right now, or when you get into work, if you're headed into work or if you're at home, go to Hawks.com, pick up tickets for the Hawks and Indiana tomorrow night at State Farm Arena, and stick them in a stocking stuffer. And the Hawks are going for 4 wins in a row. How about that? And by the way, they did say last night that John Collins' ankle might be good enough that they could see John Collins playing tomorrow night. I mean, he could have almost gone last night, which is kind of good news, too. But as it turned out, didn't need him. They ended up getting 17 rebounds from, of all people, Alex Len. 17 rebounds. We also have Monday Night Football tonight for you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with the Denver Broncos and Oakland Raiders. And, Hugh, at the beginning of the year, somebody sat down with the schedule. They said, old rivalry, Denver Broncos, Oakland Raiders, Christmas Eve, let's go. And now you look at that and go, yeah.
I think it's still going to be a good game. I'm not for sure.
the Raiders fan Jake is
in. Is this the latest they've played a Monday Night Football game in the season? It feels like it. I was curious about that because it feels like Monday Night usually ends a week ago, or it should have ended a week ago. It's what it feels like. But yeah, I'm kind of curious to see that game.
Yeah, you know what?
Night before Christmas,
as you mentioned, and I think you're right, because normally when they start the Saturday games, they end the Monday games.
The Monday night games are ended. So yeah,
right. And the Thursday.
I tell you what, the Saturday night games are weird. They're weird because especially you know when people are getting ready for Christmas shopping because you really don't get a chance to watch them if you're out there getting Christmas gifts, if you're shopping for Christmas gifts and whatnot.
Yeah, and they were a couple of interesting games, including a really big win by the Baltimore Ravens on the road against the LA Chargers. It is Christmas Eve morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and yes, Hugh and I are live here. Wendy and Daryl are here as well, and going to be here all the way till 10, talking Falcons, talking college football, and getting you ready for the bowl games. It is playoff week for college football. When we get back, we'll chop up a little bit more of this Falcons win and what it means for both teams and for the NFC South. Merry Christmas.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is a Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Christmas Eve. Falcons Monday brought to you by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. Falcons win 24-10 over the Carolina Panthers on the road, and as a result, they score twice. In two quarters, they scored touchdowns, and that means you get $50 off a set of 4 new tires today and today only at Kauffman Tire, kauffmantire.com for locations. Kauffman Tire, the official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons, so a little early Christmas present in that regard. Hugh Douglas, John Fergie live this morning as we bring you all of the coverage from the Kia Studios on this Christmas Eve morning. Dan Quinn talking, head coach talking to you yesterday after the game, after the win, and a nice solid win it was, even if you say, oh, it was Taylor Henneke. It was a nice solid win, and here's what he said about this win yesterday.
I think it goes to show like how tight and connected this group is. There's certainly a lot of love for one another because of how hard they'll want to play for each other. So I like that our focus is now matching some of our fight.
All right, I'm kind of torn. I heard this earlier, and I was kind of torn on the soundbite, Hugh, and I want you to kind of help me through it. See if I, because I don't really know how to feel it. He says that, you know, he's impressed with how focused and locked in they are now. Well, I am too, and because I guess they could have given up a couple of weeks ago. But where was this earlier in the year?
That's a fair question to ask, and I'm pretty sure you're not the only one asking that question. There's a lot of fans asking that question, and there are a lot of fans that are probably very, very upset that this team looks the way that they look right now. I understand that, but right now nobody in the locker room cares about what the outside world thinks about how they're playing. They just want to go out and play well. They want to go out on a strong note. So with that being said, John, it's one of those things where when you hear coach talk and he says things like that, it's motivation for next year. I mean, it really is. I mean, and I know that, you know, moral victories for some don't mean a whole lot, but for this team, it means everything, especially when you look at yesterday how Julio Jones was banged up and he still went out there and he played and things of that nature. They didn't quit. Guys didn't quit, and that's the most important thing that you see at this part of the season.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the individual things, and I'd like to lean on you. I mean, your playing days, and, you know, you went to what, 3 Pro Bowls, and, you know, you were, you know, a guy that had lots of sacks and had a lot of success, and you went through the ups and downs, though, at the same time, and this team has gone through the ups and downs. So when you see them rebound like this, what does it say? Does it say anything about next year? What does it say about, you know, that other part about the stick-to-itiveness of the team, or, you know, because they could have quit, right?
Yeah, you believe that. It's one of those things, man, that, you know, I know everybody says it, but I think with football players, it really holds true. Like football imitates life in the sense that when things go rough, you work harder, you focus more and all this other good stuff. And that's the kind of attitude that most football players have. And it helps carry them through tough times like this. You know, with the adversity and everything, you talk about how nobody on the outside believes in you. Everybody wants you to do this, that, and the third. But the guys that you go to war with every day, the guys that you practice with every day, those are the only ones that matter. And that's what you've seen from this football team. Just the not no fight, no quit in them, no quit in them. That's important. That's important, John. That's important not to quit, especially when everybody else wants you to tank and you know, get in position to get draft picks. Not to quit. And for Julio Jones to go out there and play when he's banged up like he is, and he's going to his 7th straight Pro Bowl or something crazy like that, for him to go out there and play. Guys look at that, man, and they're like, well, if Julio's not quitting, I'm not allowed to quit either.
It is a Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we talk about the Falcons 24-10 win over the Carolina Panthers, some of the storylines, John and Hugh with you. And Hugh, you know, your thoughts about Brian Hill. Brian Hill is a guy that was drafted by the Falcons, comes to camp, doesn't look very good, gets a chance of preseason. They end up cutting him. They bring him back, and a lot of Falcons fans kept saying, you know, why are you bringing this guy back? I mean, is he any good, or did you just miss on him? Well, we saw what they must have seen in him yesterday for the first time. 115 yards rushing. He had that big 60-yard run. Yeah, the one time where I thought he might have been ejected from the game because it didn't look like a stiff arm so much as he almost threw a punch on that one long run, because he would have had a lot more if that run had counted. What did you think of Brian Hill?
I think he came in and did what he had to do, John. You know, you're talking about a guy who got cut, had a lot of time to sit at home, and looked at an opportunity, especially towards the end of the year, where he could make hay for himself and mm-hmm. probably put himself in position to be on another team next year. Now, I don't think that with everything that's going on with this team, and as much as they like Ito Smith, that he might not be here, but there's a chance he could be, because, you know, you still don't know what you're going to do with Tevin Coleman. That's still up in there. So he put himself in position yesterday by the way that he played, that he put that good good tape out there that somebody's going to give him a look. He's going to be in somebody's training camp. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and there were some other good individual performances. Yeah, again, my Brian Poole love is there are times that 34 is my guy and times that 34 drives me nutty. And no matter what he does here at the end of the year, does not excuse the fact that he missed a tackle on Drew Brees. That just, you know, that play, man. But he does have a knack for getting around the football, and he made a couple of big plays. So he was one of the standouts yesterday, again, for the Atlanta Falcons. And it's amazing, Hugh, you look at last week and this week, and look at the difference that getting turnovers makes, even though they really botched the hell out of that one turnover when they got the fumble at the 13, and immediately on the next play fumbled it right back to them, they still end up getting the turnovers when they need to. And it's like Brian Hill and Isaiah Oliver making plays. Turnovers make a difference.
Yeah, they do, man. You talk about B-Pool, who had 7 tackles yesterday, 3 solo tackles. I mean, he's playing well. And when you look at Debo and what he brought to the table yesterday, I mean, 14 tackles, 8 solo tackles. I mean, he's really the guy for this team that really gets it done. It's just unfortunate that you look at it, and I know fans are doing this and say, dang, what could have been if Debo would have been healthy all season long?
Right.
I mean, it happens. It's unfortunate that we're in the situation that we're in. But you want to finish strong. Last game coming up, you want to finish strong, most definitely.
Yeah, you know, and it does. I find it a little bit interesting because you never use injuries as an excuse, okay? You just don't. And there's no excuse for what this team did early in the season. And they're 6-9 for a reason. Everything that they have done to themselves, a lot of self-inflicted wounds above and beyond the injury situation with this ball club. But, okay, and this is not – but, you know, it's true. The fact of the matter is they are a much better football team when 45 is out on the field. They just are. And it's not just 45's direct impact on the game, Hugh. It's the impact that he seems to have that funnels out from around him. He changes the dynamic and kind of lets everybody else – I don't know if it's a case that he does so much from that spot that he frees people up from having to carry – he lightens the burden on other people.
He's an infectious player. He's a guy that, you know, he's a natural – he's a natural at the position that he's played. He's kind of like a Luke Kuechly, a different version of Luke Kuechly. Just somebody who, when he's in there, he knows position so well that it's easy for everybody to play off of him because he does so much. That's kind of what it is. That's what I see when I see Deion out there.
You know, one of the nice things here late in the season is to see Julio Jones here in the second half of the year start to get into the end zone. Now 7 touchdowns on the year after, you know, everybody made this big stink and big to-do about only 3 touchdowns last year, and he's finding a way to get into the end zone now. 1,539 yards, could end up with, you know, well north of 1,600 after next week, and maybe, who knows, maybe even 1,700 on the season, having a stellar, stellar year. And again, this is what gets me. If you had told me at the beginning of the year that Julio Jones was going to go for 16, well, I know we were making predictions, but if you had said 16, 50, and 8 scores, let's just say he gets like a buck 20 and a score next week, 16, 50, and 8 scores, I would have said, wow, man, this team's making the playoffs. I mean, it's just such an interesting year because it's the offense that was the issue for this team, and yet Matt Ryan and Julio Jones are having big years.
Yeah, and it's just unfortunate, John, that there were times where with the injuries that this offense had up front on the offensive line that they just couldn't get it together. And you even saw yesterday a little bit of how Carolina tried to play keep away with Atlanta as far as the time of possession and everything like that. It just didn't work out for them, you know, because that defense started playing better and started creating things and opportunities for the offense. So it's one of those things. You look back on this year, it's going to be a frustrating thing for most fans. No question about it. It's going to be very, very frustrating. But as a player, they're looking at it like they're building for next season.
Yeah, absolutely building for next season. I mean, just looking at some of the stats from the game yesterday, if you had told – again, this is one of those if you had told me. But the Taylor Heinicke and then Kyle Allen would have gotten into the game and went 4 for 4. The Taylor Heinicke and Kyle Allen would have thrown 37 of 57. They threw 57 passes yesterday. 37 of 57, but they only get 10 points?
Yeah, they wanted to see if the young cat can play. That's why I can't wait to get a chance to talk to Dave, because I was of the mindset going into this game that with a young quarterback, you're going to try to feed Christian McCaffrey a lot. Yeah, he got his yesterday. He got 21 carries for 101 yards. But at the same time, they weren't afraid to put Heinicke in position to throw the rock, sling that thing. And, you know, he had a pretty okay day, 274 yards passing. Quarterback rating wasn't that great. But he got banged up. And that's why I'm curious to know if they're looking at him as life after Cam. Really curious about that, because there was some conversation and talk about that yesterday. So, and we don't know to the extent of Cam Newton's injury to his arm, to his shoulder, rather. So he might be the guy that they're looking at. If Cam can't go, he might be the heir apparent to the Carolina Panthers.
Panthers have lost 7 in a row. They went from 6-2 to 6-9. They could become the first team to go from 6-2 to 6-10 in the
history. And Ron Rivera gets to keep his job. Coach Rivera gets to keep his job.
That's what everybody seems to be thinking. I mean,
no, they already said it. They signed off on it.
I know. Unbelievable, huh?
I mean, it's not. I mean, it's just. It is what it is. He's a good coach. He just had a tough spot. I think that's one of the reasons why they shut Cam down, to try to get him healthy to see if he can go.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, you know, Ron Rivera would have said, "I'm not going to shut Cam down. I got to save my job." Your job's fine. Shut him down, right? Because really, that came from David Tepper, the owner, who said, "You know, hey, listen, let's shut him down." I mean, now we're getting the owner involved, and so that's a thing with this club. But boy, it's really turned sour on the Carolina Panthers. And the NFC South, I'm going to send one team to the postseason this year after sending three last year, and all the rest of the teams are looking at coaching changes or front office changes or something of that. That's how much, you know, 1 year can make everything different. We won't mention who clinched the NFC South a long time ago and is now the number one seed in the NFC.
I don't think you have to. I think everybody knows what's potentially about to happen in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm just dreading this. I really am. That is going to be like the worst 2 weeks of my life.
You'll be all right. Suck it up.
He's not wrong. I will be all right. It's just gonna smell. I mean,
suck it up.
Stink in a lot of ways.
Suck it up.
It is Christmas Eve morning. Some of the things we may have missed from a very busy, interesting weekend in the Wendy's Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Third annual Game Bowl Paper Football Championship. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, Merry Christmas Eve, but not only is it Christmas Eve, but it is National Eggnog Day. So asking at 929 The Game on our Twitter page, we got to know, are you down with eggnog? You can either say bottoms up, well, it's better than fruitcake, or eggna.
Eggna, yeah.
Eggna.
It's funny, I can't tell you the last time I had eggnog or Daryl, but I can taste it. It's been probably 25 years, but I can still taste it in the back
what
of my
is mouth. Eggnog? I've never had it before.
It's super sweet.
I don't know. I've never had it. I don't know. I've never had it before because egg and booze just really don't sound.
You guys haven't never had eggnog?
No. You know, my daughter drinks it because she was talking about how she's getting ready to get. She texted me last night. She said, I asked her what she was doing. She said, I'm about to get my eggnog on. She's on break. Well, not break, but she's, you know, I guess on vacation from work. And I was like, you drink eggnog? She said, yeah, as long as it has brandy in it. I was like, wow.
You know what's so crazy? The only memory I have of eggnog, and I didn't even have it then, McDonald's had it when I was a child.
What?
McDonald's had not, of course, but they had eggnog around Christmas time.
Well, eggnog isn't just an alcoholic drink.
Yeah, they had it when I was a kid.
And you know, it's not. The dairy
section
and buy it.
People put liquor in eggnog.
Yeah.
What exactly is it?
Well, it's a very sweet cream drink.
With egg?
Like, I mean, huh?
With egg?
Yeah, that's why it's called eggnog. But you can't taste the egg. But I mean, it's in the dairy aisle, like near buttermilk, okay? You'll have eggnog. But it's like, you've ever had buttermilk?
Not by itself. Not by itself, no.
Oh, well, okay. You should try. People either love buttermilk or they cannot stand buttermilk. And eggnog is kind of in the same vein.
It's made with beaten eggs. Mm-hmm. Cream and flavorings, often with alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah. See,
you might like, it's really super sweet and you might like it.
I don't like sweet.
But I mean, when I was a kid, I had to cut the eggnog with regular milk. It was just too thick and too sweet.
It's made with whipped egg whites, egg yolks, and egg yolks, which gives it a frothy texture.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat it. I don't like eggs.
No,
I wouldn't have it.
I could taste it. Yeah. No, I'm good.
You should at least try it. I mean, it's okay. It's not bad for you. I've drank plenty of it.
Well, John, I'll give you my glass anytime that you want, my friend.
I'm just going to drink Camu and pretend like it's eggnog.
What is Camu?
Actually, Camu might be good at eggnog.
Yeah, Camu.
Because brandy's good at eggnog. Wait, you know, game day comb, yeah, and some eggnog. I mean, Christmas morning, tomorrow morning, I wonder if the girls are going to get eggnog. I've got the Camus.
There you go.
Ooh, I hadn't thought about that.
You'll have to let us know how it is, John.
Cognacin'.
I'll let you know how Camus tastes.
By itself.
Do you drink it straight?
I drink it straight. Sometimes straight out the bottle.
I've drank mine straight out the bottle before. No, I ain't gonna lie.
Hey, really?
Listen. I mean, if I'm at home, I'm drinking it the way I want to drink it.
Uh-huh.
It's just me.
Yeah.
So why not drink out of the bottle? It did, like.
Just pour it in a glass.
It's like, listen, I got so many bottles. It ain't like I need it. I can give you your own bottle.
Hey, yeah, I'm going to come back over there for a bottle, too. I need another one.
I'm just saying. Shout out to my man, Derek. He got your boy laced.
No, Daryl. Daryl would. Yeah, I see you as Camus over ice with Sprite.
That's right.
Uh-huh. See?
Oh, I cut it with Sprite every time. Yes. How did you know that?
Oh, no, I drink it straight. I mean, I like the way it tastes.
Like no ice, just
straight.
Room temperature.
Yeah. I like it when it burns a hole in my chest. I like it to burn
breathe.
A hole in the chest.
Where you can't breathe.
Nah, nah.
Like you feel like you're actually getting the alcohol.
Yes, cognac. Two shots in, I'm good.
Clear the sinuses.
Yeah.
Cognac is like, I guess for those of you who never had it, kind of similar to whiskey, I guess, in a way.
Stronger than whiskey, though.
Yeah. It's stronger than whiskey.
Well, and this is not a shameless plug, but then again, it probably is. It's really smooth.
Hugh's currently reading the bottle.
It's really smooth. No, because it's funny. Like that for me is like Camus is the party favorite because that's what everybody calls it. Because I gave a bottle to a friend of mine. I said, hey, we're going to a Christmas party. So I was like, hey, I got a bottle of Camus you could take to him. Like, seriously, drop the bottle off. As soon as it's open and everybody figures out what it is, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And they call it Camus.
Man.
Well, you got some more of that Camus. Then my cousin called talking about, you got some more of that Camus? You mean Camus? Yes.
Well, didn't you do that at our work, like, one-year party, and everyone, you know, was sipping on the beer and
somebody
wine
stole
before,
mine up out of, somebody took mine up out of my,
it's one of those
things.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just stole it right out of your
someone
thing?
Took mine out of my locker.
No, oh, yeah. I got some more. That's but it's funny. It happens on the
remember I was out of town. Somebody came. When I came back.
Camus.
Hugh asked me, was it there?
Sticky bandits from Home Alone who takes
hey,
stuff?
Man. Somebody got that drink. Somebody drinking good.
Up. Yeah, that's at Camus. That's why people say Camus, but pronounce Camus. Yeah.
Well, we're talking about Camus because we were also talking about eggnog. So please go to 92.9 The Game and vote in our poll right now. 48% of people saying bottoms up, 42% saying eggnog, and 10% saying it's better than fruitcake. Well, the tradition for the Black Knights, Army cadets normally do push-ups on the field for every point the team scores, and many more, like the Army, like the entire Army, cheerleaders, band members, general fans will often participate in the tradition of doing push-ups, but it's not 7 push-ups when they just score a touchdown or 3 if they get a field goal. They do push-ups of whatever the team's score is at the time. So because Army dominated Houston in the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl.
Oh, they crushed them.
70-14 on Saturday. So
Let me get it straight. So, like, the first touchdown, they do 7. The second touchdown, they do 14. So that's actually 21.
Correct. But
they scored 70. So how many did they do?
So on Saturday, the push-up celebration ended up with 385 push-ups in the end zone for most people.
Man.
In the stands, 385 if you participated. It was 147 by halftime because Army was up 42-7 at the half, so 385 push-ups.
Yeah, Ed Oliver did not play in that game, could you tell? I don't know if you saw any of that game.
No, but I know. But I heard the score, and I saw the way that they were running, yeah. I mean, they got manhandled.
I think Army ran for near 600 yards in that game. Guys are running free all over the place.
Well, you know how we talk about UCF fans, speaking of bowl games coming up, you know, they've called themselves the 2017 national champions. They believe they've gotten snubbed from the college football playoff because they've won 25 games in a row going back to last year. They're often outraged. Well, one of my favorite people to follow on Twitter, Cameron Magruder, makes fun of sports fans and their fan bases, and he called this one things UCF fans say, and I thought it was worth a play.
Go Knights, charge on.
We're the best team in Florida.
Did you see me on game day? It's not a playoff. It's an invitational.
Top 10 programs don't play 2-for-1.
I wouldn't want to play us either.
Florida is afraid.
We've never lost to Bama. We're 1-0 against Bama. Look it up.
We can only beat the teams on our schedule.
It's not our fault Pitt sucks. It's not our fault we had to reschedule the UNC game because of a hurricane.
We're going back to back.
The fact they put a 2-loss Michigan in front of us, stars don't mean anything. It's been announced as Central Florida one more time.
It's UCF, not Central Florida.
We're not self-proclaimed national champions. Why would want to Justin Fields transfer here?
Where are we going to put the other national championship banner? How many SEC teams are we going to have to beat?
We're not losing to LSU.
They said the same thing about Auburn. They better not let us into a conference. Imagine what we do with Power 5 money.
18 playoff would solve everything. But they won't do that because they're scared.
We will play anyone, anywhere, as long as it's a one for one. All we do is win. If we beat Stanford next year and still don't get into playoffs, I'm writing.
That's very clever.
So the whole thing is about 2 minutes and 14 seconds. That was probably a 40-second clip of the entire thing, but it's tremendous work of what UCF fans often you'll hear them say. They're going in on Twitter lately, so if you say anything about the Knights on your Twitter page, you're going to hear it because fans believe they belong in that playoff.
Are they going to say that they're champions again this year? I heard that in that little
room. Probably. You know what? Listen, as far as I'm concerned, UCF fans can say whatever they want to say. I mean, because, hey, they feel like they've earned the right to do so. So have at it. Because I've had a little beef with a couple of them, and I'm just like, man, it's not even worth it.
It's exhausting at this point. So yeah, that was very fitting.
Yeah. I didn't know they got mad when you called them Central Florida. That's their name, isn't it? Central Florida?
It's amazing what they get mad at.
No, prior to this, what were they best known for? Dante Culpepper, I guess. You think about it. It is a very Merry Christmas Eve on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is a Falcons Monday. Falcons coming off another win, back-to-back victories. Is that a good thing? That's next as we continue with John and Hugh on the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.